Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can give us a call at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. And it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. The two big stories right now, Alex Cora has been fired by the Boston Red Sox. And here's the latest breaking news. Luke Kuechly, the great linebacker, has retired after eight seasons in the National Football League. Here to talk about that right now and also some NFL playoffs as well is a former NFL offensive lineman, played with the 49ers, Vikings, and Cardinals. And that's Alex Boone here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Alex, thanks for the time. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Let me first start you off with Luke Kuechly. Had an incredible career. We've seen guys over the last few years retire at a young age because of how brutal and violent this sport is. Just first off, how about your reaction to Luke Kuechly retiring?
Dude, it's insane, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I played with Chris Borland, and he retired after 1 year. I mean, that was a complete shocker, and that was the same year that Patrick Willis retired. Like, dude, two for one that year. To retire because of concussions, this is becoming more prevalent, and people are paying more attention to their bodies, and they're like, hey, listen, man, I just don't want to be like that someday. So I credit him because I know how tough of a decision that must be.
I couldn't agree with you more, because you know how everyone has a take now in this world and everyone has a platform, and hey, it's part of this job, and you know, it's how I make my living. But I remember when the Andrew Luck stuff happened, when the Rob Gronkowski stuff happened, people were being critical of the decision, and I'll never be critical of a player who wishes to retire because they have to take the beatdown on the field and they have to deal with their body in an awful spot day in and day out, and people get into it. Oh, it was late in the process with Luck. It was late in the process with Rob Gronkowski. So I actually think it's very courageous when a player who could have probably played for another 2-3 years, but he would have put his body in an ultimate bad spot. I think it's very courageous when a player says, you know what, now the time, it's now to get out of the game rather than too late.
Let me just be honest with you. When somebody does something like this, do you think that they honestly sit back and go, you know what, I did this despite the team? Or do you think it's one of the hardest decisions they've ever had to make? Like, somebody in their mind has said to them, listen, dude, something's not right. You're not in a good place. You need to probably come out of this league. I mean, you think about it. Since we were kids, since you were probably a kid, every guy dreams of wanting to play in the NFL. The minute you're there, and the minute you're somebody named Luke Kuechly, the number one linebacker in the NFL in the last 10 years, and somebody's going to come down on you about that, to me, that's sad, dude, because this kid is one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game. He played with such tenacity. I can speak from firsthand experience. I remember playing him. He had the fastest hands I ever played against, other than London Fletcher. And he was probably the meanest player I ever played while having a smile.
Alex Boone here with us on CBS Sports Radio. The meanest player ever while having a smile. That has to be the most frustrating part. When someone is trying to get to your quarterback, he's so frustrating to block, and the guy just smiles at you all the time.
Dude, he was so smart. He was calculating everything about him. You had to watch. I'm not even kidding. We would watch film for days on him. Like, what is his tell? When is he coming? When's he blitzing? When's he dropping? And then you think you got to go up and climb on this dude and put your hands on him. He was so fast. And then I remember one time, he like speared me in the side of the ribs. I swear to God, I thought I broke a rib. And he comes up laughing and he's like, Boone, that's just because we're Ohio boys. And I was so pissed. I was like, dude, you speared me because I'm from Ohio. He's like, I thought you were tougher than that. And walked away. I was like, oh, it is on. But you think about a guy like that who can say something like that while playing at the top of the league. Like, dude, it drove us nuts because he always laughed at it. It was just constantly, you're like, God, he's so slippery.
Alex Boone here with us. I just saw Albert Breer had a tweet out, and he said in an eight-year career, Luke Kuechly, and it puts it into perspective, 2012 Defensive Rookie of the Year, 2013 Defensive Player of the Year, a seven-time Pro Bowler, a five-time first-team All-Pro, and a two-time second-team All-Pro. And oh yeah, by the way, also got his team to a Super Bowl in only 8 years. That's wild.
That's incredible. You can't think about how bad the Panthers are reeling right now. Not only because you got a new coach coming in, like everybody's all excited. They got this rule guy. They're going to pay him a fortune to come here. And then all of a sudden the spark on your defense is like, hey guys, I've had enough. Like that has to take the wind right out of your sails. I feel bad for the Panthers right now.
You've had situations like this, as you were alluding to, when you get the news and how it comes down, and it does, you don't get text about it in terms of or a notice about it. Most of the time, a lot of the breaking news happens via Schefter or Rappaport or some release by the team on Twitter. What is it like when you're texting teammates right now, and what are those Panthers players probably feeling when they're talking to one another right now?
You know, I got to think that they probably saw this coming. As a good teammate, I got to give a lot of credit to Chris Borland and Patrick Wills because they both told me face to face, like, hey, listen, wow, this is my decision. Dude, I can't tell you how much guts that took to come and be like, hey, listen, I know you might be mad at me, but this is my decision moving forward. I hope we can still be friends. It's like, listen, dude, we will forever be friends. Like, I'm not going to come down on you about this. If you think that the health of your brain and your body should always outweigh the silly game, like, people think about how serious this is. There's guys right now that are having trouble remembering things, speaking, doing simple things, because we all played a silly game, and yeah, it was worth a lot, and we had a ton of fun, but sometimes the juice is not worth the squeeze.
How are you feeling right now? Just wondering.
Dude, I'm like Superman. You can't get me down. Come on. I'm always up, super excited, energetic, ready to roll, never hurt. Come on.
But like, do you go through daily struggles with pain?
No, honestly, I don't. I feel great.
Wow.
I took off a ton of weight. I mean, I do the Ironman thing now. I mean, it's just constantly moving and keeping the body going. I think as long as you're in a good place mentally, physically, everything will follow you.
Alex Boone here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to one of your former teams in the 49ers. They have one of the better teams in football. They're going to have the Packers this upcoming weekend. They beat down the Packers last time they played them. What type of game do you think we see on Sunday with the spot on the line for the Super Bowl?
You know, to be honest with you, I think it's going to be a lot of Aaron Rodgers running around. I think that this defensive front right now for San Francisco is on fire. I think somebody pissed them off in this bye week and told them that they weren't as good as they thought they were. And they went out last week and proved that they were. And I think offensively, this creativity of Kyle Shanahan continues to blow my mind. Like, he's one of these guys that's like, hey, listen, I'm just going to do a little bit of this and you'll naturally get out of my way and part the Red Sea and we'll throw a touchdown. Like, the way he can get a defense to move, even when that defense doesn't want to move, and he still does it, is incredible.
The blocking is really something. I remember that Cleveland game, and I think that Juszczyk got hurt in that game. But the way they use that fullback, too, and even when they survive games this year with Staley out and McGlinchey out, it doesn't matter who they put in. They find a way just to get it done. The blocking is unbelievable.
Credit Kyle Shanahan. I mean, look what he's done. And you say, talk about this fullback, what this Juszczyk's done. What about Kittle, too? I mean, the
a
two
beast.
Of them, you're constantly fixated on them. Like, what are they doing? Why are they going there? Well, that's what they want. It's all this smoke and mirrors. It's everything that they want you to look at. That's right. Kittle's moving out to the left. The middle linebacker's looking left, and then he gets smacked from the right. That's how it works here. And it's so fun because as much as we see it on TV, when you're on the field, sometimes you don't see it as much. Like, you're just constantly worried about where are people going? Why is he going there? Why is he moving? And all of a sudden, you know, somebody's climbing up on you and it's over.
I call Kittle Gronk Light because what he's been able to do, blocking too, that play against the Saints, it reminded me a lot about Rob Gronkowski.
Dude, I think that Gronk is more Kittle-like. I mean, I think that what Kittle has done so far in this 3 years is incredible. And I think that when you talk about a guy who would rather run down the middle of your face than run out of bounds, that to me is a tempo setter. And he sets the tempo for this entire team. And that is special because he's a tight end. You don't see that from tight ends. This dude's like, yo, bro, I'll take the whole team out. It's so fun to watch him.
It really is. You could probably have hours and hours of highlight film with Gronk and then also Kittle. Like, I remember Gronk dragging those, it was the Redskins defenders down the field in a game. And I go, how does this guy not get tackled? And I actually think one of them, I know he was joking about it, but I think it was name was Sergio Brown was doing some talking, and Gronk said to NBC, I had to bounce him out of the club. And it looked like it was a scene from The Blind Side where Michael Orr blocks a guy into the dumpster. That's what Gronk did on the football field. And you see those types of situations with Kittle. It's awesome to watch. You love it when a tight end, and you know the tight end position now, a lot of it, you line them up in the slot too, and the guy gets 1,000-something yards, but they're not blocking anymore. Kittle, the blocking, that's what makes him so resemblant to Gronk.
Absolutely. And you think about this, you talk about the running backs, right? Like, what makes a great running back? Yeah, a guy that can run really hard, run really fast. How about the guy that can block on third down for the receivers? That's exactly what Gronk does. That's exactly what Kittle does.
Sure.
These guys, they're incredible because you watch them. They can scoop a defensive end that's an all-pro defensive end and put him on his butt. And you're like, dude, what was that? Is that a tight end? Oh, my God. And he's fun to watch. Like, everything about him is energy. And you're like, dude, I want to be next to him right now.
Alex Boone here with us on CBS Sports Radio. This has been great. When we get to Jimmy G, we've seen moments this year. The game against Arizona, stepped up, made a big third down throw. The 2 3rd and 16s at the end of the season, found Kittle against the Saints. Kittle did the rest. With the game on the line, do you believe in Jimmy G in the year of 2020?
100%, especially because you think about all the hits that he's taken this year and how he looks like he's never phased. And at times, yeah, maybe he looks a little upset, but that dude is as calm as a cucumber. And that's what you need from a quarterback. Number one, somebody that can take hits, because it's going to happen. Dude, this playoff football, you're playing the best defenses in the world. They're going to be coming for your quarterback, a guy that can sit back there unfazed, go through his progression and get the ball out when it needs to be out. Dude, that is spectacular.
So you think the 49ers are winning by how much?
Oh, dude, I'm going to say 21. I said last week that whoever won the Minnesota and 49ers game will be in the Super Bowl. These are the two toughest teams, man. They're gritty. Their defenses are fired up. Somebody's pissed them off, and whoever did better be sorry because they're coming for everybody now.
Who do you think annoyed them, just wondering?
You know, I think it was a lot of people kind of, as much as they probably say they weren't listening to it, I'm sure a bunch of them heard it. Like, hey, they're maybe not as good as we thought they were. They took a bye week off. Like, that. If I was a player, that always bothered us. It was like, listen, we're going to do what we're going to do, and here we go. And when you do, my God, is that team incredible, because I feel like the defense is just out there pummeling offenses, and the offense is just so creative and innovative that nobody really knows how to stop it right now.
Was there ever any bulletin board material that you kind of just laughed at and said, that's like a little bit too much in the motivational tactic, or you just bought into all of it?
No, I never bought into any of it. I was the one not reading it. I was the one trying to stir up the pot and create it. I was the one that was like, dude, listen, I'm going to go say this, guys. Pay attention. Here we go. And then they come back and they get super pissed at me like, dude, why'd you do that? I had to do it, guys. Made football fun.
Who are the three toughest defensive linemen you ever had to face?
Bro, I played Aaron Donald twice a year. That dude is not even human. I would say... I'm not even kidding you. Like, the way he would stare at you, you were like, he's reading everything about me right now. And I would try to mess with him, but in turn, I would end up just messing with myself. So I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm going to play my game. I would say him. I played Michael Bennett twice a year, and that was back when Mike was really tough. And, I mean, he was a wiggle worm. He was, oh, my God, he was so hard to block at times. But, and then I think three would probably have to be, I don't want to be a cliche and say J.J. Watt, so I'm going to say a guy that I don't even know if you know. His name was Kevin Williams. You remember Kevin?
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure, with the Bills, right?
No, he was with the Vikings.
Vikings, yes.
Dude, I played Kevin in my first year starting, and he whipped me up and down the field. Oh, my God, he was so old. I remember going into the game like, this dude's so old. I'm so young. I'm just going to destroy him. And he was laughing at me the whole game. I was like, all right, bro, it's on.
Yeah, Kevin Williams, man. What a player that was. Hey, before we let you run, as we're wrapping up with Alex Boone, in the AFC side, in the AFC, I'm assuming you're going with Kansas City?
You know, man, I got to tell you, I'm a huge Braves fan. Number one, he went to Ohio State. I know him. He's a great guy. Number two, he got Bill Belichick to freak out on the sidelines for the first time in his entire career. So, you know what? I'm all about Ryan Tannehill. I'm all about Derrick Henry. Let's go back to Miami and show him what's up.
Would you cut off your you-know-what for a Super Bowl like what Vrabel said he would?
No, dude. Because you know what's so funny is I was telling my wife about that. She was like, wow, that's a bad predicament to be in there, buddy. I mean, you got to think. She's like, at what point you have to give it your word? You have to follow through, right? I was like, babe, I hope not.
Hey, Alex Boone, we'll definitely be talking to you again soon. One of my favorites to talk to. Appreciate the time. How can people interact with you right now?
Dude, it's great, man. I appreciate it so much.
No problem. There's Alex Boone here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Man, A+. He brought it. Kyle Williams was the player I was thinking about, by the way, with the Buffalo Bills. He ended up saying Kevin, who had quite a career, too. 6-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first team All-Pro, is on the 50 greatest Vikings ever. But wow, Alex Boone. He told you, Mikey B, when we reached out to him, I said, text this number, get him on the show. You said he was going to bring it. He said he was going to bring it, and he did not hype himself up too much.
No, incredible energy, great insight. He was a lot of fun, and it was like he was shot out of a cannon. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, excellent stuff. All right, when we return, we'll play you some of this Luke Kuechly audio. CJ Spiller still to join at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play this game since I was in fourth grade, and I've been with the Panthers now for 8 years, and it's never the right time to step away, but now is the right time for me, and it's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on. Some of the best times of playing this game are behind the scenes in the locker rooms, in these meeting rooms, on the buses, traveling the games. You can't replicate that anywhere else, and that's why this is so hard to do, to move on in a different direction.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So there it is. That's Luke Kuechly at the age of 28 announcing his retirement. Released a video via the Carolina Panthers website. And you got to look at that career. And we read what it was. The first thought that comes to mind in terms of Hall of Famer or not is yes. And that's how I usually like to judge on what determines if you're a Hall of Famer or not. The minute when someone retires right away, can you say without a doubt, yes or no? And if you have to talk yourself into a yes, it's a difficult argument that you should put someone in the Hall of Fame because you're either a Hall of Famer or not. It's either a yes or no. I don't believe in this. We have to hype someone up for 20 years and then eventually get them in on year 21. And when I look at Luke Kuechly from 2012 and then this past year, 2019, and I know he wasn't great this past year, but you've seen what he's been able to do. A 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time second-team All-Pro, NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year as well. He screams Hall of Famer to me. Because he was someone that you could identify for a long time in the National Football League, and he was a heck of a player. And now he's retiring at the age of 28 and turns 29 on April 20th. And I love the Boone story, too, where Kuechly tried to hip check him or whatever, right in the ribs, and he was smiling about it. And that was Luke Kuechly. He played the game, and you knew he was a great player, but he was a really fun player. And he was someone that you loved to watch. And you look back at those Panthers teams, the team that got to the Super Bowl, offense, the identity was Cam Newton in that MVP season. And defensively, that defense was awesome to watch. If you remember that Super Bowl and you saw the lead up to that game, you also had, remember Thomas Davis leading into that Super Bowl where he broke his arm and he had so many stitches lining up the arm and he played in that Super Bowl. That Panthers team was such a good team and they go 15-1 in the regular season. They get the 2 playoff wins and then they lose the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos because they ran into a team that, even though Peyton Manning wasn't great in that game, but that defense was out of this world for Denver in that Super Bowl. It really was. And going back to that Panthers-Broncos Super Bowl, it was also a play or two where Manning should have been picked off and wasn't. So they came up short, no doubt about that. And it would have been great to see Luke Kuechly get a Super Bowl ring, and now he's going to retire. And also another thought, once you get on Hall of Famer or not, And who knows if he wants to do it? Who knows if he wants to explore it? You have to think that coaching is in his future. Luke Kuechly to me is someone that I think he's a coach. He was an extra coach in that football field for the last 7-8 years. I got to think he will eventually coach one day in the National Football League, but you never know. You don't know if he wants to coach or not because he has a ton of money, could sit comfy for the rest of his life and enjoy life, grow family and all that. I'm sure he'd be welcome in to be an analyst on ESPN, CBS, NFL on Fox, you know, who knows. But I would say this guy probably will coach one day because the passion is there. The love for the game, I think, is there. And he was such a smart football player. But Luke Kuechly going to retire from the National Football League. And also, he did discuss, too, because, you know, we brought this up even earlier, that it's a new regime. And not saying him and Rule have any problems or whoever have any problems, but maybe when you start to think about that in the decision-making process, hey, this team is not ready to win a Super Bowl. Hey, you know, with all the concussions and the injuries, it's been so ugly. That's what determined this decision. But let's play Kuechly talking about what he thinks about the future of the Carolina Panthers.
I hope to, you know, still be involved in some way. And the biggest thing at this point now is to thank the people that have helped me get me there, from the coaches and the players, to Coach Rivera, to Marty, to Mr. Richardson for bringing me in, and now Mr. Tepper now. This decision has nothing to do with new coaches and Coach Rule. He's going to do a fantastic job.
So there you go. He said it right there, right out of the top. He still wants to be involved. He wants to be involved. I would have to think whether it's a front office role or if you make him some type of coach. Imagine Luke Kuechly being a linebacker coach. You imagine being a rookie linebacker and you get to learn from Luke Kuechly and what he was able to dominate in 7-8 years. And then he said, of course, nice things about Matt Rule right there. So congratulations to Luke Kuechly. Heck, that's got to be a gut-wrenching decision when you have to retire on what is so quote-unquote that young. But 7-8 years in the National Football League is a long time, and he was dominant. And even though it was it sounds awful when you say even though it's only 8 years playing in the National Football League, to me, he'll have a spot in Canton, Ohio one day. He'll have a bust in Canton, Ohio and get that gold jacket as well. When we return, CJ Spiller going to join us, 855-212-4CBS. We'll recap some national championship game.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Here we go. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, recapping the national championship game from last night. LSU gets the victory in the Superdome by a final score of 42-25. We'll head out to the hotline right now. Welcome in a former Clemson running back, was also a first-round draft pick of the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League, and that is C.J. Spiller, kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. CJ, I know it must be a tough day after seeing your team lose in the national championship game. It's been some run, and I expect it to continue for Clemson, but appreciate you taking some time out for us.
Oh, no problem, no problem. And, today's been a tough day traveling back to South Carolina. Obviously, I would like to have seen my alma mater win a second national championship. Back-to-back national championship game, but I mean, you got to give credit to LSU. They came out, they played hard, and pretty much they had the whole state behind them. It was a great atmosphere, so cap off to them for winning their championship.
We could only tell so much sitting on our couches at home, but how loud was it in that building? Because it seemed as if it was easily an 80% advantage LSU in the home crowd.
Oh, it was definitely a home game for them. We were definitely outnumbered from a fan base. And, it's what we expected. Kudos to our fan base for, showing up and selling out all our tickets that we had. But obviously with Baton Rouge being only an hour or hour and a half down the road, we knew going into the game that it was going to be a, a home game and an advantage for them. So it was loud. It was electric in there. The atmosphere was amazing. So it definitely I would say it was loud, but I don't think it had too much of a influence on our offense. I think we only maybe had maybe one pre-snap penalty, false start. So for the most part, the guys was able to handle that situation.
When I was previewing this game yesterday, I thought LSU was going to win, but I thought it was going to be a really close game. And just out of respect to Dabo Swinney and Trevor Lawrence and the talent on that Clemson team, I would have never thought this would have been a score that was 42-25. I know it was close at some times. Hey, Clemson got out to a great start. How surprised were you with the result when the final score does read 42-25?
I was surprised. I was the same thing as you. I had it very close. I had a 37-34 type game, 38-35 type game. But the biggest thing going into the game was it was third down. I thought that was going to be one of the biggest keys for us to be successful in the game. And I think I read where we were maybe 1-for-11. So we wasn't able to stay on the field as much as we liked it, gave them more possession. That's how it go, but I thought that was going to be the biggest difference, was going to be that third down.
C.J. Spiller here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, the former Clemson running back here with us talking about LSU defeating his alma mater in the national championship game. The start, it was 17-7, and then also you guys, after blowing the lead, got back into it. Coming out of halftime, you guys find a way to make a stop, and then eventually you go down the field, you get that touchdown and the two-point conversion as well. I think at the time to put it within three at 28-25. What did you see other than the third down just go wrong after being up 17-7 and then also getting that final score of the night and that being it when you guys closed back in within three?
I just felt like, we just couldn't get in no type of rhythm offensively. We cut it to three right there in the third quarter, but then we just couldn't get it going again. So, you just got to tip your hat off the LSU. They were doing a lot of different things defensively, coverage-wise, blitz here, blitz there. I'm pretty sure, once the guys look at the film, it's going to be some things that, they wish they could have done better. But to me, just watching the game, it just felt like offensively we just couldn't get in that rhythm like we normally do during games. And and then defense, I thought they played well. Obviously, I thought the big thing that I thought that we couldn't do was give up the big play, and that's what we've done. We gave up two, I think, looking at it, we maybe gave up too many explosive plays. Obviously the receiver had a big day for them, and I thought that was one of the difference in the game, is just giving up the big play, because once you do that the momentum kind of get on their side, and obviously you're already at a disadvantage because of the crowd that they have. So, just a lot of factors that went into that game that we wish we wouldn't have done, but we end up doing them.
Joe Burrow is such a gamer, and he's so cool, calm, and collected. And this season, it's been so unexpected. He was a 201 odds to win the Heisman. He ends up winning the Heisman, breaks all these records, ends up winning the national championship and going undefeated as well. And he's going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, probably going to Cincinnati. Just what stands out to you the most about this entire Joe Burrow story? I know you've been following him throughout the season, but seeing him go up against your squad the other night.
You can really tell that. He has a confidence amongst himself and a belief that whatever game they're in, they're going to win it. And you can see it feed off to the rest of the team. And that's what you want as a leader. Once your leader goes out there and show that, hey, we're going to win this game and I got the confidence, it only trickles down to everybody else. You can kind of see the sideline, his teammates, they respond to his energy. And, he was very calm. I didn't think, he was rattled throughout the game. And obviously, I wasn't on the sideline to, kind of get the up-close and personal look in his eyes. But it just seemed like he was just very calm. They kind of settled in. We pinned him back deep a couple times early in the game. But, he just stayed calm. They stayed within what they do. And it was just one of those things. Once they kind of got their rhythm going offensively, it just started snowball. It's kind of like a snowball effect. And, it just went from there.
CJ Spiller here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Your quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, what did go wrong with him? I know you talked about that rhythm. They were never able to really get in a consistent rhythm offensively. And it's so surprising because of how well-respected Lawrence is. And this was his first loss, and it comes in a national championship game coming off what he was able to do last year and most of this year, which was very special.
Yeah, I think Trevor would be the first to admit that probably wasn't his best game. Obviously, you know, he would like that play better. I mean, there was some throws I'm pretty sure that he loved that we ought to see him make that he maybe missed last night in the game. So it's just one of those games where, you know, I would say it was probably the worst time to have a bad game. But, I mean, that's how football goes. But he's a true champion. He's a true competitor. I expect him to come back next year better than ever before. But I'm pretty sure he'll love to, once he break down this film, there's going to be some throws and some plays that he'll love to have, that he'll love to have back.
I know it's going to eat at him, but as a player, how do you eventually let it go? Do you ever let it go?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you never let a loss go. I mean, obviously as an athlete, that's how we wired to, you know, to move on to the next one, the next play. But this can only make him better, you know, because obviously now there's going to be a lot of talk, a lot of negativity compared to what it was last year. You know, I think he was the favorite to win the Heisman. So obviously he'll still get some of that talk, but it'll be some of the thing. It'll be some bad articles about, you know, is he really as good as he is before? So, but you know, that's only going to fuel him. He'll have a great off season. He'll learn from the mistakes. He'll look at this film, break down the film, see what, you know, what they done, what they was trying to do to him, and he'll continue to grow as a player, and he'll try to get his team back to that same spot again next year.
It's kind of crazy now looking at the standard for Clemson that it's championship or bust each and every year. How is Dabo Sweeney going to use this as motivation? Because he finds a way, even when you guys were undefeated, to get little things out there that, hey, we're disrespected and all that, and he gets me ready to run through a brick wall for him.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, he'll get you ready to run through a brick wall any day. But, I mean, he'll find something. I think the thing that I think Coach does well is he know how to turn the page. Obviously, this team here, they'll never be together again. You know, lose a lot of seniors. Also, you got a lot of young guys. I think it's like 80 guys, either freshmen or sophomores, coming back. So, them young guys, they was able to expand. They know the expectation now. They know what it's like, what it's going to take to win a championship game, what it's going to feel like to play at a high standard to be able to get it done. So it's a lot of things that he's going to be able to grab from this game. But the thing I say, he does a great job of flipping that page and letting them know that, hey, what you did last year, it doesn't carry over. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing is why this team is so successful. They never carry what they'd have done the previous year over to the next year because they know it's a new year. Everybody starts with a clean slate, and you got to find your own identity. So I'm pretty sure Coach will do a great job of, you know, getting ready for the 2020 season, of making sure that team, they find their own identity. You know, they're going to want to start another winning streak. So how do you do that? You got to win number one. But how do you do that? You win it in the off season. You can't look ahead. You can't take the elevator for success. You got to take the steps. So I'm looking forward to it. I know it's a bad taste in our guys' mouth right now. And I'm pretty sure if they can play next week, they'll be ready to play next week. But, hey, we're going to have to sit on this loss for a while, and we'll get over it eventually.
The Dabo story is such a great one because it's unexpected success, and we've seen what they've turned into now, this program at Clemson. How about Ed Orgeron? I know you wanted your school to win, but this was someone that was passed up at USC, and heck, LSU didn't even want him originally. They wanted Tom Herman, and what Orgeron's able to do and what he's been able to do the last 2 years is very special.
I mean, it's very special. I mean, I read the story. Obviously, he's from New Orleans, and, you know, I mean, that was pretty much a storybook ending. I mean, to go back, you know, go to the school, win a national championship for your home state. You know, like you said, LSU was always that was his dream job. So for him to be able to actually accomplish that feat of being a national championship coach now, I mean, that just speaks volume of his character. Not a her story, you know, how he get his guys fired up, you know, so. I mean, he's a player's coach, but he also understands the hard work that it takes to play at an elite level. So I'm happy for his program. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for that state, for their fans. And, you know, like I said, they deserve it. They was a better team last night, and hopefully they can continue to build on their success.
CJ Spiller here with us. Hey, officiating didn't decide this game last night. There was that questionable OPI call that I didn't like, but in a bigger talking point, the targeting rule for a long time, and yeah. I understand why it's put in place. It's important player safety, and I totally get that. But I feel like there has to be different standards because I hated to see an ejection in that game last night, which what I didn't think was that bad of a hit.
I totally agree. I was just talking to somebody earlier about the targeting rule. I would love to see if you get two targeted, then you get ejected. The first one, I mean, it's football. People, you know, I'm with you. I understand what they're trying to do. You want to make the game safe as possible for the players. But sometimes, you know, it is a collision sport. And, you know, body's going to move as you're going to make tackles. And, you know, I know he was leading with his crown, but, you know, he caught him on the shoulder pad. So you don't want to see a kid get kicked out. And then I think hopefully this offseason the NCAA go and revisit that rule because I think it needs to be adjusted. It's one of those rules where some stuff you just have to overlook. I ain't gonna say overlook, but you just have to, you know, get a guy a chance. And like I said, I would love to see if a guy got two of them, two crowns to the helmets or something like that, then you get the ejection. But one, that's kind of like a warning, maybe get the 15-yarder, but to just automatically just get ejected from the game off something where bodies are moving, you know, at a high speed rate. To me, I think it needs to be changed.
Or maybe just even two different level of degrees as well. Like in the NBA, there's a flagrant one and a flagrant two.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even if they went and did something like that, I mean, because when you really look at the play, like I say, he caught him on the shoulder pad, even though he was leading with the crown on the helmet. And, you know, like I say, I'm all for player safety.
Sure.
And I understand that. But like you said, that right there would have been one of those ones where they could have called a flagrant one and, hey, you get the 15-yarder, but the guy's not ejected from the game.
Last one for C.J. Spiller. Have to ask you about the NFL postseason. We have Chiefs and the Titans, and Derrick Henry's been unbelievable video game production. Heck, Patrick Mahomes, too, erasing that 24-0 lead as quickly as he did last weekend. On the NFC side, we got 49ers and Packers in San Francisco, actually Santa Clara, 49ers home game. Who do you have going to the Super Bowl, C.J.?
I'm going to take the Chiefs. You know, obviously, being with that organization.
Sure.
Off and on a couple of years ago. I like what Coach Andy Reid does. I like the man that is. I like what he stands for. And then, obviously, I think the Chiefs have a ton of playmakers all around. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. Even though I'm taking the Chiefs, it would not surprise me if Tennessee is. Because we all know playoffs is all about the team that's playing the hottest. And right now I don't think nobody's playing that's playing hotter than the Tennessee Titans. They can run the football. They play great defense. I mean, you think about it. They went to New England, won that game. Went to Baltimore, won that game. So now it's going to be a tough task. But I got the Chiefs coming out of the AFC, and then on the NFC, I just think the 49ers. Just looking at that defense, playing home with that crowd, man, it's going to be tough for Green Bay. But, again, Aaron Rodgers, he's a bad man. I wouldn't be surprised, but Super Bowl, I'm going Chiefs, 49ers.
What would your advice be to a defense in trying to tackle Derrick Henry?
You better hit him before he gets started. I had a chance to actually meet Derrick when we played Alabama a couple years ago. I want to say down in Tampa in the national championship. That is the biggest running back I ever seen in my life.
He makes Mark Ingram look like a shrimp.
Oh, yeah, he made him look like a trip. That's a grown man. That is a grown man. So my advice to the Chiefs defenders, you better get that guy before he get rolling because you don't want to be trying to tackle that for four quarters. I promise you that.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, C.J. Spiller, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Oh, man, thank y'all for having me on.
Appreciate C.J. Spiller joining us right there on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What a wild show. This has been talking national championship game. The Alex Cora fallout since he's been fired by the Boston Red Sox. What's going to happen with Carlos Beltran next with the New York Mets? And then also the news that Luke Kuechly has retired. Let me give you the final poll question results. Will A.J. Hinch or Jeff Luhnow work in baseball again? 39.7%. I'm surprised this one say both will. 27.4% say both won't, 26% say just A.J. Hinch, and just 6.8% say Jeff Luhnow. With how Luhnow has handled this so far, it's tough for me seeing him get a job again. I think Cora's done in terms of being a manager again, and it's tough to see Hinch getting a job at this point again. But who knows? Time does heal all wounds, and they're all three talented people, so maybe they do get a job once again in baseball. Mikey B, great job as always. Tom B, excuse me, I always mess that up. I go Mikey B, and then I try to say Tom D Benedetto, and I try to blend the B there. So Mikey B and Tom D Benedetto, thank you so much. Yeah, we're only the second full week in, so eventually we'll get it right. I also like to thank our guests, Brad Lidge, Nelson Figueroa, Alex Boone, CJ Spiller as well. And we're going to have a fun show once again tomorrow. Hall of Famer Reggie Jackson will join us, and also Leroy Butler. We'll catch you all starting at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for tweeting. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Zach Gill. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.